Hello, everyone, and welcome to Static Energy. I'm totally stoked to have you here. I'm your host, Angelica Bartarelli, and welcome to my world. Before we get started, I just wanted to take the time to let you know how the show is made possible. Anchor has been super fundamental in helping me get Static Energy off the ground. And I'm so thrilled to be able to launch a show that is completely self-funded and free for listeners to enjoy. My personal goal is to keep Static Energy this way for as long as possible. However, when select elements of the show can't be self-funded, they will be donation-based. This allows me to continue to provide high-quality, engaging content in the most authentic way possible. For me, authenticity is the root of everything I do. With that said, the topics discussed today and in the future are opinion-based and all facts presented are subject to interpretation. I am not an authority on any topic and will never claim to be. I'm simply a sassy woman with a lot to say. Now let's get started. I cannot believe this day is finally here. It's launch day for Static Energy, and I'm so excited. As you already know, my name's Angelica Bartarelli, and I'm your host. The title of today's episode is Lip Service, the New Age of the Digital Guru. So what does that mean? It's my interpretation and my take on the New Age influencers and digital gurus that you may see on social media. The inspiration behind today's episode has just been what I've dealt with during quarantine, which is consuming way too much social media, primarily TikTok. Now, I downloaded TikTok in March 2020, only spent a few weeks absorbing the content, the dances, the cat videos, the why you should break up with your boyfriend, the unsolicited advice, the pranks, what have you. And then I stumbled upon the online guru, someone that's going to show you their wealth and tell you that it takes so many steps to become a millionaire. I'm not going to lie to you. Unemployed Angelica is like, oh, bitch, I'm intrigued. Let's do this. Let's make that money. Literally, that's what this guy says. Let's go make this money is his tagline. His name is Kong Lee, otherwise known as KingKong.WTM. And what does that WTM stand for? Wholesaling to millions. He's going to teach us the BRRRR method. Now, the BRRRR method stands for buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. And you repeat in order to continuously take your, let's say, for lack of a better term, commission, and you use that to invest in a property so that you can continuously have passive income. So what are we trying to do with the BRRRR method? Build a profitable real estate portfolio. Now, how do we make the BRRRR method possible, or how do we wholesale? Let me give you an example. There are a few different ways to source properties in order to have an effective approach to wholesaling or the BRRRR method. You can drive around and find distressed properties regardless of what neighborhoods they are in, or you can go online, do an address search, source the owner's information, and cold call them. When you get a hold of the owner, you present them with an opportunity to put their house into contract at a locked-in price. For example, I'm going to lock in the price at $9,000. I have 30 days to then find the seller a buyer. I lock in the buyer at $12,000. I keep that $3,000 difference, give the $9,000 to the original seller, and then take that $3,000 and move into buying my own investment property. Now, when sourcing the information, this is entirely where you can do wholesaling without any money down, right? If you can successfully complete your first deal, you take that commission and you turn it around and you either invest in a property or invest in education, right? Self-education to move yourself forward. So if all of this sounds so wonderful and you can do it with no money down, why am I so skeptical? Because like many things in life, it's too good to be true. I think that King Kong and other real estate moguls, for example, another TikToker, Tat Lindano, are notorious for teaching people how to flip properties, right? Or sell real estate in a way that is very pointed. And what I mean by pointed is it's both judgmental and pointed as in there's a sense of trajectory, right? They really want to connect with the consumer and they want to make a sale. So they sell you as a guru on this idea of course, getting rich quick. For Kong, it's through wholesaling. For Tat Lindano, it's through traditional real estate. So they show you their, you know, their nice houses, you know, great cars, what they're buying their loved ones for holidays, and all these things that are really enticing, because for a lot of us that are working class, or for myself that's currently unemployed due to the pandemic, that all of that seems really, really wonderful, especially when you get to a point in your life where you're like, I have to be super strategic with my money. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills sometimes. I need out of this life and into a greater one. And so they get you with that. They get you with that desire to be at a different point in your life. Then they hit you with a minor portion of their, what I call, sob story. Now, I am very empathetic to one's life experience. Trust me. However, when you have a whole story that you share with someone, where you can really connect with others, that's a really beautiful thing. And I say sob story in this case because it's very small, very curated details of their previous life to seem relatable to you, only to then turn around and judge you. For example, King Kong is very adamant about quitting one's job, stop working a 9-to-5, getting off your ass, stop buying Starbucks, stop complaining about the groceries you have, and actually put in the work. And I think hard work is a wonderful and beautiful thing. In fact, I was able to do a lot of great things in college because of hard work. And I think that so much of what we see as someone's success in life is a mixture of so many different things. It's hard work, privilege, and luck and chance. And I think for people like King Kong, Tat Lindano, and Dave Ramsey, who I'll actually be bringing up at the end, they all had really interesting backgrounds. Some came from privilege, some came from nothing and made something of themselves. But the moment that they made something of themselves, it's like they're shitting on everybody else that's not as rich as them, because it's like, well, you know, yeah, it was so hard at first, and now that I'm rich, it's almost as if it's like easy. And it's not. So it's very, I wouldn't say it's like a pendulum swing of information, but I find that it's almost hypocritical. It's like, okay, I remember my former self before I was rich, but then now that I'm rich, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you that your job sucks, that you're wasting all your money, and you're sitting here going boo-hoo that you can't afford anything, when in reality, why should working class people continue to struggle more in that they have to work to live and then turn around and live to work and not be able to enjoy any of the money that they do make if they have anything left over to enjoy? Sometimes, like, I know for me, when I was working at a company redacted, because I'm not going to say their name, but if you know me, then you know who I'm talking about. I was making $13 an hour, and sometimes I'd end up with maybe $50 left over. Well, that's sure as shit not enough to invest in a property. Granted, they tell you that you can do this all with no money down. Well, I need gas money to go around and find properties. I need, you know, to pay for my phone bill that allows me to cold call. I need to have time. Oftentimes, this is what's so crazy. They tell you like, oh, you need to quit your job. Okay, well, I can't afford to, and I don't have the time. Because time is money, and I'm working 60 plus hour weeks to survive. I don't have the time to pick up a phone and try to do this. Because they tell you that it doesn't cost money, but it costs you time, energy, and money to then quit your job and pursue wholesaling. Oh, well, you can do it part-time. Okay, part-time workers traditionally work anywhere from 12 hours to 29 hours, right? Before one would be considered full-time. Where the fuck am I going to find 12 hours? If I'm a working class person, where am I going to find 12 hours where I'm not trying to eat, maybe relax, I don't know, maybe go to the bathroom or take care of my kids or do homework or whatever it is that I have to do? I don't have time to, you know, quit my job and stop being a loser, right? And it's not that I believe any of these things. In fact, this is why I'm so passionate, is because I don't think that some guru online who's just trying to get my little bit that I can afford, invest in their services, which are obviously going to cost way more than one could afford, to get information that is accessible elsewhere. That's what's so crazy, is that Tat Lindano, King Kong, and Dave Ramsey all have learned these things from other people and resources that one could learn for free. So, sure, wholesaling sounds great. Sure, building a really great real estate portfolio and becoming a billionaire, Tat Lindano, that sounds rad. Oh, I don't know, trying to help people get out of debt with a free snowball method that is conditional, because if I really wanted to know what it was like to actually get out of debt, I would pay for your products, Dave Ramsey. I don't get this logic. And I'm sounding so angry right now, and maybe it doesn't sound like I'm making sense, but I came from a place where I actually looked up to two of these people. I was really into what King Kong had to say, because yes, when he was spitting truth, and when he was actually sharing really useful information about the Burr method, especially when I at one point was actually considering real estate as a career, I was intrigued. And then he started to use his privilege to express a prejudice and tell people that they need to stop working their jobs and stop spending, you know, what little money they have that they would spend to enjoy themselves and to get it together. Now, I know what you're probably thinking, for those of you that don't agree with me. I'm not saying don't work hard. I'm not telling you not to save your money, because trust me, I'm saving any penny I get right now or investing it into, you know, projects like this. But I don't like when someone's sitting there shitting on the working class as if they don't have a place that they came from. And if they really honored their past or they honored their story, they would be a lot more respectful. Now, I've talked a lot about King Kong because I'm a lot more familiar with him. But through King Kong, I learned about Tat Lindano. She is a real estate mogul based out of Canada with satellite locations in the United States. Now, I discovered one of her videos that she did that was a, I don't know what they call it on TikTok. I'm not as well versed in like making the content there, but I think it's like a duet type situation. It was like she duetted Kong's video and Kong duetted. It was basically fucking Inception, my guy. He was talking about stop buying the Rolexes and the Louis Vuitton until you make the money. So what do you think Tat Lindano is doing? Oh yeah, she's nodding her head while showing off that she owns all of those things. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. I want to better my life through hard and honest work and not flashing around my wealth in order to, you know, entice people. That's when you lose relatability. And I don't think any of these gurus, these, you know, get out of debt quick, get rich quick, freaking pseudo authorities really understand that they're not relatable anymore. They are not people that actually care about giving you good results. They pretend to in order to literally build their empire. Why would I want to give a rich person more money to tell me how to get rich? I'd rather just, I don't know, source out information in an honest way, like opening a book and reading, or going to school and getting an education, or picking up a trade. I'm so flabbergasted that these people show you the glitz and glamour, but it doesn't get anyone anywhere. We are going to consume their product because it looks pretty, because Tat Lindano is gorgeous, and because her hair is fucking cool, and her outfits are really nice. And then we're gonna go, oh, that's cool that she like told me how to do something, but I know the actual resources that she's providing, the classes, are like $200 or $300. I can't afford that. It's all advertising. It's all marketing. And they literally spoon feed you that. I know that I kind of got off on a tangent and I'm kind of saying the same thing, but it's because this is the root of where I come from. You just heard my chair squeak. Now, video where Tat Lindano and King Kong are duetting each other is supposed to be like, oh my God, okay, well, I finally made it. Look at all the things I could afford. So I was like, who is this bitch? So I clicked on her TikTok and I started looking around and I found a video that really struck a chord with me. She goes, in order to make $1 million, you have to look like $1 million. While this bitch walks through her full on, like, garage size closet, wearing Chanel, various name brands, Rolexes, you know, Louis Vuitton shoes. And I'm supposed to sit there and go, wow, you just look so great. I want to be exactly like you, but I can't because I'm poor. damn. No! And then I read the comments and I'm like, okay, like, what do people have to say about this? Especially other real estate agents, like non-super rich real estate agents, like people that are actually relatable. What do they have to say? And someone's like, don't dress like a million bucks. You know, dress nice, but dress to meet your clients' needs. Because dressing in, you know, designer clothes can be very intimidating and not in touch with who your clients are and what their story is. I don't know, bitch. Take it down a notch and come back down to earth. And then someone said, well, yeah, you're going to want to, you know, dress nice, but I can't look rich when I'm not rich. And she goes, yeah, well, don't look like a slob. And I know that I might be reaching a little bit by getting offended by that. But as I said, I've had my own experiences with people that are very much like this. I actually dealt with some of these personal prejudices from people that are fans of Dave Ramsey, Tony Robbins, people like King Kong and Tat Lindano. And I've seen it firsthand, the judgment that they have because you're not at that level, even though they were apparently at your level once. So I thought about this concept and I actually bounced it off of my partner, Tony, who hopefully will agree to become a co-host because I think banter is a lot more fun for me with other people. I said, you want to know what? Fuck being rich. Just fuck it. Just fuck it real hard, okay? Move that concept out of the way. Wherever I'm at in life, what is my Sunday's best? And I'm not connecting to religion in terms of Sunday's best. I'm thinking more of like the conceptually what that means. So my perception of a Sunday's best is going to be different from your perception of a Sunday's best and my grandma's perception and my mom's and my sister's and so on and so forth. And of course, King Kong, Tat, and Dave Ramsey, who are the focus of this episode. My perception of good, high-quality fashion is going to be different. So why should I take advice from people that don't understand that you can look good wearing items from a thrift store, wearing hand-me-downs, you know, wearing old items from your closet that you haven't worn in, you know, like 10 or 15 years that one might say are outdated or not designer? Why do we put so much pressure on this idea of looking apart when I actually think that's kind of dumb? And this is another thing I said to Tony in relation to the three of these people. Why on earth? I mean, and this is up to you. This is just a me thing. Have a poker face, baby. Why would I want to sit there and flaunt that I'm rich and have people's eyes on me when there are plenty of rich people that are super just chill and they don't need flashy things? And their perception of Sunday's best or what they consider to be luxurious are different. Because we're taught to fit into the status quo, which means designer products, having designers personally cater to your wardrobe, and you can source out catalog items and all these, you know, crazy fashion things. When I don't know about you. I don't think a Ferrari is like, I mean, it's cool. I'm not gonna lie. It's cool. And I'm always intrigued when I see these sports S cars on the road when I'm driving in, you know, my boyfriend's Toyota Camry or whatever. I don't speak car language. I really like vintage cars. Like, that's my shtick. Like, that's what I would love. And I wouldn't even like it from a perspective of like, ooh, I just got like a brand new one. Like, I would want one that needs my personal touch and my love. And that, I think, is what makes people that are influential so special, is their uniqueness, not their similarities and their same gotcha get rich quick schemes. And, you know, I was really sitting here and like, you know, okay, well, I have to be credible, right? I want to be credible when I share my opinion because it needs to be rooted in something. And what all of these three people, again, King Kong or Kong Lee is his formal name, Tat Lindano, which I still struggle to pronounce, and Dave Ramsey have in common is that they all have had experience with real estate, wholesaling, actual licensed real estate. And Dave Ramsey was a child of real estate investors, had a really major real estate portfolio, and due to a bank shift in 1982, his $1.2 million loan was unable to be paid back, something of that nature. I don't understand the full logistics, and he actually had to file for bankruptcy. He studied both real estate and finance, which is why he's a finance guru today. And that's the story he uses, is his bankruptcy, to then show you that he's worth now $200 million. How is it that he can help me get out of debt and then make eons of money? And then he provides a very limited amount of access to his information. Oh, we'll take your free assessment today. Great. Okay, that's the first half of my full financial assessment. And then I have to pay $50, $60 for the rest. Oh, he gives you a budgeting app, but it's going to cost you $100 a year to be more detailed, to be more thorough. Now, I'm not telling you to go and make your proprietary information free, your skills free, because trust me, I would never, ever encourage anyone to do that. I think that you should be paid what you're worth. I think you should be paid respectfully, and people shouldn't be downgrading what you have to offer. But here's the thing. These gurus, these, I'm going to help you get out of debt, I'm going to make your life fantastic, these types of people have existed for decades, maybe even centuries. I'm not that well-versed. But I started doing some digging. Like I said, your girl has to be credible. So I did some digging, and I found a Washington Post article published on October 25th, 1998. Now, I know that seems outdated, but bear with me. Do you hear that? It's the sound of victory, baby. I found something that you might want to hear. Jane Bryant Quinn is the author of this article, but she is really fascinated by John T. Reed of Alamo, California, who writes a newsletter, The Real Estate Investors Monthly, and he watches the self-styled retail gurus with a hard appraising eye. If you know anything about real estate, saying appraising eye is actually really fucking funny. So here's something that Quinn had paraphrased. The guru drenches you with dreams of a luxurious lifestyle. They accessorize themselves with flash, such as ostentatious jewelry and rented limousines. Now, it's a matter of opinion or, you know, proof of ownership or what have you, that these gurus are, you know, renting the properties that they are attached to, or the cars, you know, the fancy closets, whatever. Because yeah, in reality, they could very well be renting these items, and they could afford a lease on these items, and their direct personal finances are none of my business. But I sure as hell will tell you, anything that I can find in public record, oh hell yeah, I'm gonna eat that shit up. And I did do some digging, and I did find out some really enticing information about Tat Lindano. However, if you've made it this far into the episode and you really like what I have to say, and you really want a more detailed, less opinionated account of what these gurus are doing and how they're not all that meets the eye, I will give you an updated episode. So I just want to sprinkle that in there, that I found some tea. And it's pretty hot. And I'll do some more detailed digging. But let's get back into it. Your girl has a lot more to say. And trust me, I took notes. And everything that I'm saying right now is from the heart. This part's not scripted. It's probably messy. But I was like, you want to know what? I'm never going to make this podcast if I don't just sit down and just do it and tell you what I think of these gurus. Because I'm not enthralled. I mean, I'm someone that literally is taking nothing, you know, pennies, and trying to create a podcast for people to enjoy. And I want to show you the authentic and the raw and the real side, and the, you know, not super well edited audio, because I don't have a lot of skills. So when Okay, that was terrible of me to say about myself. I'm not well versed in audio production. I'm more well versed in talking into a mic and hoping for the best. And that's kind of what I'm doing today. Now, let's scale it back. Let's remember what I talked about. I feel like these gurus have a certain level of prejudice. I feel like they have forgotten that you can obtain things through hard work, circumstance, and privilege. And they have been set up to become privileged. And now that they have a certain level of privilege, they are shitting on everybody else. So when I look at these people and I see others super enticed and people are eating it up in the comments, like I look for people like me in the comment section that are like, I don't buy it. You're being kind of rude. You're being unrealistic. I don't see those people. I see people that are wearing beautiful rose-tinted glasses. And I've been there. I've worked in sales. I was going to get my real estate degree or real estate license. I was sold on this idea that if I made the right amount of sales, my mentors would respect me and they would give me quality time and more training so that I can be the best and I can be the top salesperson. Yeah. And I wasn't. And then I lost that job. And then I actually was able to take a step back and go, wow, I'm really glad I lost that job because they didn't respect me. They didn't respect the clientele. They didn't respect anybody that wasn't making money. Because to them, respect is subjective. It's only afforded to those that put in the work or those that are worthy. And that's how these gurus act. And King Kong in particular, who is really the root of this whole feeling and this outpouring of emotions that I had for people like me, was because he was able to afford himself privilege and then sit there and shit on people as if there weren't actual groups of people that are impacted by real estate practices such as redlining or blockbusting. And if you know anything about those two things, they are absolutely egregious. I want to break down for you what those two things mean. Blockbusting, in layman's terms, is the practice of persuading owners to sell property cheaply because of the fear of people of another race or class moving into the neighborhood and thus profiting by reselling at a higher price. Okay? That's blockbusting for you. Redlining is the refusal of a loan or insurance to someone because they live in an area deemed to be a poor financial risk. So if you're looking at those two things, those two concepts, those two very prejudiced, very racist, classist, awful concepts, and you're looking at people like King Kong and thinking of them as people worthy to be praised, not realizing that they are telling you to get off your ass and do better for yourself while they've afforded immense privilege, when in order to actually buy properties in the real world, you have to have credit. You have to have good credit. You have to have a lot of things. So yes, while selling your first wholesale property might not cost money, it costs you time, energy, you know, you're risking your reputation if people do know you, right? And yeah, let me take that difference in commission and go put a down payment on a property. A lot of people don't qualify for the types of loans and services that they offer in real estate. So how is wholesaling even logical if people are literally placed in situations so strategically by society to keep them in one area, to isolate people that are less fortunate and act like it's so easy to get out of those situations? And that is not my story to tell. And that has not been my experience. But I was really, really pissed when I was listening to pointed language, to language that sits there and blames people for not being rich. That's just fucked up. And you have to be a really self-absorbed, narcissistic person to believe that. Because I think that hard work is beautiful. And I think that success is personal. And success doesn't always amount to money. It amounts to how you make others feel, how you can bless other people. And I'm not saying bless from a religious standpoint per se, just the way that you can make other people's lives easier and happier. And I don't ever want to hear people sit there and shit on somebody for working a 9-to-5 when, you know, that's their life and they haven't been afforded the opportunities or the time to be able to, you know, build a vast real estate portfolio. Or I don't want to hear people shat on because they bought themselves a Starbucks, or that's the one thing that makes them happy is that they get their, you know, their Starbucks however often they get it. And yes, I've been there. When I was working for the company that shall not be named but is represented by a mouse, I spent in 1 month, and I was working more than 40 hours a week. I was working upwards of 50 plus. I did spend $300 in 1 month on Starbucks. And that's a situation where you can be a little bit like, really? Really? Could you have not done better, Angelica? And I tell you, no. I could not have done better at that time. I was really, they just introduced the cold brews. I was really into the salted caramel cold foam cold brew. It was my life source. It was my energy source. And I get that. I do get a point of view where it's like, hey, if you're really spending a large amount in which you can see, maybe you should pull back a little bit. But also, fuck you and mind your business, because that's the tea, right? And I know that this podcast probably sounds messy and crazy, and why do I care so much about these people? And it's not that I care so much about these people, because trust me, there were things about King Kong that I actually agree with. And it's not any of the things that I expressed here. I think some of the concepts that he comes up with are really interesting. And none of this, as I said, is to claim to be an authority on anything. Therefore, this is just an opinion. I'm allowed to disagree with some things and agree with others and not hate someone and encourage you guys not to go storming these people and hating on them. You know, so I can agree with some of what King Kong says. Some of Dave Ramsey's concepts, the snowball method, okay, it's not foolproof. I actually believe, I think credit is a weird concept, and I don't think it fully encompasses someone's ability to pay things off, because you can get into really unique circumstances in which someone else's shortcomings actually affect your credit. So I think that system is flawed, but I don't agree with Dave Ramsey in that you shouldn't have credit. You should learn how to build healthy credit. Not everybody is afforded the opportunity to have healthy credit or any credit at all. And maybe people don't want to, be so dependent on credit cards. And I know that that is a lot of what Dave Ramsey's saying, but he's saying it in a way that's not realistic, because most people live paycheck to paycheck. It's just the truth. I've been there. Some of you listening have probably been there. But then there are some of you listening that are probably insanely, like, so good with your money and your finances that you are like a wizard and you can live off of, you know, any amount. And you are the type of people that are influential and that others should be looking up to. So if you've gotten this far, I have a lot of respect for those of you that are really good at budgeting, because that's actually people that I know that budget really well have inspired me. And I think that's amazing. So yeah, a tiny little bit of what Dave Ramsey has to say, a little bit of what Kong has to say is valid. I don't know as much about Tat Lindano, but she pissed me off. She probably has some, you know, redeeming quality, right? All three of them have a redeeming quality. But since I truly believe in my heart and in my gut that all of the stereotypical guru essence that was, you know, spoken about in that Washington Post article in 1998, what was that, about 22, almost 23 years ago, that is a style of sales. These people are salespeople. They're trying to sell you their product. They're trying to get you a following, to get engaged, to consume, so that they can, you know, make money off affiliate marketing and product sales and books and training courses and Patreons and, you know, private chats that you can, you know, pay into with little to no return, because not everybody has the time. And yes, you want to know what? I have seen some success stories. I have seen the result of their, their teachings, their sermons, like whatever you want to call them, content actually coming to fruition. And that's super cool. But I want to leave you with this question. I really do. Why is it that we as a society, as a collective unit, let people like Dave Ramsey, Tat Lindano, King Kong, even various super celebrities, which that could be a topic of another episode, be so influential that we consume what they have to say, as if we're so impacted and to the point where we spend our lives trying to be a mirror image. I want to be awesome and I want to consume great things. And we are what we consume as people. We are fascinating and unique and wonderful just the way we are. Whether we're working a 9-to-5 or taking steps to become an entrepreneur solely on the basis of getting rich, because I see you, I know some of you are like that. That's what I have to say. Then again, my business, that's my opinion. Housewives of, what is it, Orange County, that's my opinion. If I got that wrong, people are gonna judge me. I'm a Beverly Hills stan, okay? We're getting off topic, but I just wanna let you know. I hope that you take from this that I care about people. And I don't want you wasting that amazing time in your life that you have sitting on TikTok, sitting on social media, letting people like King Kong judge you or call you out through a freaking video when you can take that time and that energy and invest it back into yourself and do whatever the fuck you want. You want to go buy that Starbucks. Go buy that makeup that makes you happy. And you want to know what? If you're able to turn your situation around and be financially prosperous, I'm proud of you. But don't let anybody tell you that you're nothing because you're not like them. Don't let anyone tell you that you had to wear designer clothes to look like $1 million when you want to know what? You look so sexy in those sweatpants. I see you. You look fantastic. And I hope that this energy transfers to you and you like what I had to say and you want to come back every other Friday and watch. You want to listen to another episode of Static Energy. I have social media. I go by Alien Slayer, spelled AlienSlayerXX. I can barely spell it. You can find me on there. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram as Static Energy Media, all one word. Please give a follow. And I want to make this show 100% self-funded. Or, as I said earlier in my disclaimer, donation-based. If we want to do something really cool and enough of you are really into that idea, then yeah, cool, donation, we'll get there when it comes to a donation-based show. But if you like, share, comment, follow, come to my You Now launch party today, Friday, February 19th, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I would love to have you there. Those are all free ways that you can offer support. I hope you liked my first ever episode. All of this is from my heart, and I know that I'm going to be critical of myself and tell myself that I could have done better, but I did exactly how the universe intended me to do.